little, I guess, warning up front that we have to be careful as we read Old Testament accounts, as we read Old Testament stories, that we don't put ourselves in place of the hero. We can't look at the hero and say, that's me. Because a lot of times we do that. We try to find ourselves. But if we look, the Old Testament always, in some form, always points to Jesus. And some examples, like Abraham sacrificing Isaac, that reflects God sacrificing Jesus on the cross. Or Jonah reflects the 3 days Jesus would die, be dead, and then raise again. You know, we look at Jonah a lot of times and we see ourselves running, but Jonah really points to Jesus. And Jesus himself in Matthew 12, 38, and 41 actually says this. The Pharisees came to him and they're looking for a sign. Show us a sign and we'll believe that you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. So Jesus himself points to Jonah. And then David. David is one of the big ones. And whether he's facing Goliath, a giant, or he's serving as king, he is representing Jesus as standing in the gap for a people who were helpless. So we have to be careful as we go through these accounts not to look at the heroes. We're looking for Jesus. We're seeing how Jesus plays out in the Old Testament as well. So let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory for who you are. Thank you that you have given us your word, Lord, that we can look way back, Lord, and that we can see how you were moving, that we can see and follow the steps of these Old Testament heroes, Lord, these people of faith, Lord, and we can see how each step that they made, Lord, pointed to you, how they showed us who you would be when you walked this earth, what you would do, how you would stand in the gap for us. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, turn to the book of Joshua. It's page 167 in the Pew Bibles. And also, if you look, and I would encourage you to hold on to this, put it in your Bible and bring it back. I put in your bulletins the Bible Project Joshua poster. So as we go through this, and as you go home later, and hopefully we'll look back through it, you can look and see how Joshua plays out through the entire book as we go through this book. And as you're turning in your Bible, I want to tell you this story that actually fits very well with the first part of Joshua. And it's called Remember the Three Rules. Okay? And I want you to remember the three rules. Do you remember learning to ride a bicycle? Did your bike have training wheels? Did someone run along beside you to get you going? One of the greatest challenges of youth after learning to walk is learning to ride a bicycle. It requires balance and a sense of self-confidence. To assist in this process, manufacturers came up with a special set of wheels that are attached to the back wheel of a bicycle. The two little wheels attached to the back wheel are there to help provide balance and confidence to the rider. It provides balance whenever the rider leans too far to the left or to the right. It provides confidence because the little wheels don't always touch the ground. The rider builds courage because he or she actually rides under their own power until they begin to lean. Knowing that the wheels are there in case of a fall builds confidence. Some who have never had bikes equipped with training wheels had to learn the old-fashioned way. A parent or friend ran along beside the rider holding on until the rider got underway. Though wobbly at first, the rider got the hang of riding after a few crashes. Parents get tired, but training wheels do not. Training wheels are always attached. Riders who use training wheels never had to wait for someone to catch their breath. Training wheels were convenient. Training wheels serve a purpose, but there comes a time when training wheels are no longer necessary. Let's look at a little boy who was being trained to ride his bike by his father. On the first day out, his father said to him, "Son, there are three things you should always remember if you're going to learn to ride a bike." The excited son committed all three to memory. 1, keep your eyes on the road. 2, don't lean to the left or to the right. 3, remember, Daddy's there, right there. As the boy mounted the bike, his father had him repeat the three rules and then ran along beside him shouting encouragement and reminding the boy to keep repeating the three rules. After each ride, the boy was excited and thrilled. After the third ride, his father ran along beside him but didn't say anything as the boy kept reciting the three rules. One day, the boy mounted the bike as usual and took off chanting to himself, "Keep your eye on the road. Don't lean to the left or the right. And remember, Daddy's there." Two blocks up the road, he looked back and was surprised to find out that his daddy had not made the run with him, but was waving from the front yard. When the boy returned, the father said, "Son, let this be a lesson to you in life. You will succeed if you keep your eyes on the road. Never stray to the left or right. And remember, even when you can't see him, not me, your heavenly father's right there." I don't know how many of you have tried to teach someone to ride a bike, but it is, training wheels come in very, very handy. Polly Marie got this wild hair before winter kicked in that she wanted to learn to ride her bike without training wheels. And she won't stop. It's keep going, keep going. Even when I'm laying on the ground trying to catch my breath, she wants to keep going. So I don't know how long many of you have been there, but woo, I love training wheels. As we look at the book of Joshua, we're going to see how these three rules play out. But first, let's look at Joshua. Joshua is the sixth book of the Old Testament. It's a historical book. So we're reading history. I don't know. I know Randy likes history. I don't know how many other people do. But this is not a boring history. It's an exciting history. It's a history of war. It's a history of conquest. This follows the Exodus and the 40 years wandering in the desert. If you remember, the Israelites were stuck in Egypt. God comes and he gets them out of Egypt. They're heading to this promised land. They get to the border of the promised land. And what do? They don't trust. They complain. So God says, "You don't trust me, you're going to wander for 40 years. So they wander for 40 years. And now we're back again to that border. And this is the big moment when we see what's going to happen. Moses, unfortunately, has died, and Joshua now steps into the place of leadership. This book is broken into three sections that we're going to look at. Chapters 1 through 5 is the preparation to go into the promised land. 6 through 12 is the conquest, and 13 and 24 is dividing up. So let us get into Joshua here, and let's look at it. Starting chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosper, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Notice here first, there's a repeating phrase. And I was taught one time that if it repeats, it has to be important. Pay attention to it. Does anybody know what the repeating phrase is? Do not be afraid. But it's bigger than that. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous is actually repeated three times in this one small section. And if you look at it, and we're going to look at it, it actually grows in intensity. So now we know where we're starting here, but who is this Joshua? Joshua is actually, his name is the Hebrew form of Jesus. Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, Joshua. So Joshua and Jesus here, here's the beginning. Just knowing Joshua's name, we see a form of Jesus. This isn't Jesus, but he's going to reflect things that Jesus will do and Jesus will promise. His name means Jehovah is generous and Jehovah saves. Is that not who Jesus is? So we're starting off with knowing, and he's the second in command, now becoming the first in command. So this Joshua is now being called to step in. And what is God going to say? God's going to give him a list of commands. Here's what I want you to do. If you read from verse 2, he tells us what is happening. Moses is gone. Why do we need that information again? Because in the last book, in Deuteronomy, we know that Moses died. The thing is, God is telling them, get up and let's move. You see, the Hebrews, they mourned for 30 days. Think about that. We've escaped the Egyptians. We've been 40 years wandering the desert, and now we've spent 30 days mourning Moses. God's saying it's time to go. We're done in the wilderness. It's time to move forward. He says, arise, get up. Let's lead the people out of here. And what does he say when he tells them to get up? Verse 6, and this is the first appearance of it. He says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. But what is he saying? He's saying, be strong and courageous because you're going to do this. So is God telling Joshua here, you need to be strong, you need to be mighty, don't take nothing from nobody, be strong, courageous, be raw to these people because you're going to lead them? Is it your power that's going to do this? See, if we're looking at that, that's what it kind of looks like, because the first thing he says is, you are going to be the cause of this. God is actually saying, be strong and courageous in my ability. Because I'm the one that's giving them this land. You are simply the front man. When people talk about this conquest, they're going to talk about you. They're going to say, Joshua led these people. They're going to say, my great-great-grandfather was there when Joshua took us across the Jordan River. It's going to be you that's going to be the one everyone sees. When the enemy's here, they're going to hear it's Joshua and those Israelites. So be strong and courageous in me. Trust in me. Trust in my word. It's kind of like Deloitte was talking, which is kind of cool. Joshua had no idea what was going on. Joshua's like, I'm now in charge, and God said, move. I trust God. I know God's going to do his thing, but I have no idea what's really out there. Because it's been 40 years since I've been over there. So I have to trust him. And I don't know, I just have to believe, like Deloitte said. Just believe. Because look what he says, and God repeats himself too. In verse 2, he says, I am giving to them. Verse 3, I have given to you. And then in verse 4, I swore to their fathers to give. God is reminding Joshua, trust me, I've already done this. I've made my word, and I'm going to stick to my word. You just be strong and courageous in me. Trust me. Then what does he do? He jumps down to verse 7. Over in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Look, it looks again that God is reminding Moses, or Joshua, you can do this, it's all on you. But remember, be strong and courageous. He intensifies it with only be strong and courageous, because I'm the one that's going to do this. Only be strong and courageous. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about coming up with a battle plan. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Only be strong and courageous in me. Be strong and courageous in my law. Notice what he says here. And if you mark your Bibles, I would mark these through 7 and 8. Make sure. He says, make sure you stick to the law. Make sure you know the law. Make sure you observe. Carefully obey the law. Make sure you know what I say. Make sure you know what I've commanded, and then be careful to obey it. He says, do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on me, and we will walk forward. He says, memorize it day and night. Verse 8, rememberize the law day and night. And then he says again, careful to do all that is written. And what will happen? you will prosper and have good success. This looks like when Joshua goes over, Joshua's going to be a king. He's going to be a mighty man because you're going to prosper. You're going to have success. But God's not telling him that. He's not promising him material wealth. He's speaking of the conquest, because as we walk through Joshua, God says the same thing over and over again. Anything that you take, put it in my courts. Give it to me. So God is the one inquiring the wealth, not Joshua. But what is he saying? He's saying, remember why you're moving. Remember that I am giving the land. And then he says, and then he hints at, remember what the enemy looks like. Because if you remember, I said here at the beginning, they came to this point, this border once before. And Moses sent over 12 spies. He says, check out the land, tell me what it is, and come back. They come back. They bring back these grapes that are huge, and they tell these things of how wonderful the land is and how delicious the produce is. But we have one problem. We've got these giant fortified cities. We've got these giant people that live there that are armed to the teeth. We're no match for them. We're like a bunch of sheep to a wolf. We're no match for them. Joshua and Caleb say, hold on, wait. God promised us that was our land. God promised us that he was going to deliver that land to us. We can do this. The other 10 said, no. Just you two, you're young, you go sit over there. No. And God said, you won't trust me, then you wander in the desert until you're dead. He's reminding Joshua, remember what the enemy looks like. But if you do what I say, if you obey my laws, if you meditate on my law day and night, if you keep your eyes on me, not to the left, not to the right, kind of like Peter walking the sea, keep your eyes on me, because what did Peter do when he looked to the left and right? He sank. He's saying, you keep your eyes on me and you will prosper and have good success. The enemy will fall at your feet. The land will be yours. And we know this from chapter 2, which we'll get to next week. What does chapter 2 say? A little whisper starts. Some strangers walked into our city. Who are these strangers? They're Israelites. Did you hear what the Israelites did? Did you hear? Oh, and it gets to the king, and the king sends out, we got to find these guys. These guys are dangerous. Their God is dangerous. God says, stick with me, trust me. You will prosper if you stick with me. Verse 9, he says again, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? He wants Joshua to understand the importance of being strong and courageous, of sticking with God, letting God fight the battle. Because God has already given the victory. He's reminding Joshua not to fear. Because what's going to happen, Joshua, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go out there and these people, they're going to start mumbling. They're going to start grumbling. They're going to start fearing. And it's going to get to you. And then you're going to start doubting. Be strong and courageous in me. And you will succeed. The enemy is going to look big. You're going to come to some places and you're going to look, how is this possible? But be strong and courageous in me, and you will succeed. Do not be dismayed when situations go different than you think. Don't stress out, Joshua. Rely on me. And what does God promise? If Joshua is strong and courageous, if Joshua meditates on God's word, if he keeps his eyes on what God has promised, on who God is, what is God going to do? Verse 3, he says, everywhere their foot touches, everywhere the Israelites put their foot, it's theirs. That's what I'm going to do for you, Joshua. Verse 4, the borders. If you go back to verse 4, look how big those borders are. That's how big it's going to be, Joshua. Verse 5, that no one will stand against you. No one's going to stand against you. They're going to fear. They're going to fear me. They're going to fear you. Why? Because I, God, will not abandon or leave you. Verse 8, you will prosper. And then verse 9, I am with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, Joshua, I am with you. So Joshua gets what he needs. God provides Joshua with this strength, with this courage to go, God is with me. I've seen what God can do. I was Moses' second hand. And I saw what God and Moses did. And now God is coming to me and promising me, if you stick with me, you will succeed. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So then he goes in verse 10 here, verse 10 down to 16, he goes and he commissions the people. Here's what I want you to do. It says, verse 10, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan, to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. He goes and reminds the people, here we're moving. Get ready. In 3 days, we're going to pack up and we're going to head out. But why 3 days? 3 days, remember, this is a historical account. Do you know what's happening in these 3 days? There's a part that's left out. See, after God and Joshua had this talk together, Joshua went over and he said, okay, I want you and I want you to go over that, cross that Jordan. Tell me what's over there, especially Jericho, and come back and report to me. You see, those two spies that are in chapter 2 have taken off. They've left the camp. For 3 days, they've been gone. So in 3 days, when they come back, we're moving. So he reminds them, in 3 days, we're going to head out. And how do the people reply? The people reply to Joshua because he also reminds two of the tribes. He's told the two of the tribes, remember what you told Moses. God has given you this land on this side of the Jordan, and you said if you get this land, you have your rest. When the rest of us are moving, you're going to come with us. You're going to help your brothers conquer that land, and when the land is conquered, you can come back and have your rest. And the people say, yes, we will do as you say. Verse 16, he says, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. It's not always true. If you read the Old Testament, they argued with Moses a lot. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. There's those words again. But this time, instead of relying on God being strong and courageous, the people are reminding Joshua, be strong and courageous in the power that you have. You see, back in Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 7, Moses tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. The people are reminding what Moses had told him. You are the leader. You have been trained. You have what is needed to do this. You can do this, Joshua. And the people are reminding him, don't be afraid to make the hard decisions. You know, we're making this promise to you face to face, but we both know there's going to be times that we're going to question you and you're going to have to make these hard decisions. Don't be afraid to make them. Don't be afraid to be the leader that Moses has put you in place to be. We know that God is the one orchestrating the whole thing, but the people are just seeing the man in front of them. Because what did God say? You are the one that's going to cause the people to go over the land. The people are looking to Joshua. They're not looking at God. The people are trusting what Joshua says. He says, your commands, your laws, we will obey. So the people are looking at Joshua. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. And Joshua's remembering these words. Wait a minute. God told me to be strong and courageous in him. So I have to remember that. So what is our responsibility with this chapter? Remember at the beginning, I warned that we have to be careful not to look at Old Testament heroes and put ourselves in their place. Because they're only a reflection of Jesus. We have to look at them and we have to see Jesus. But there is something we can take out of the Old Testament. We have to look at the Old Testament. We have to look at the promises found there and we have to take them. Because you see, Isaiah 41:10 reflects the same promise to the people that God made to Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 9 says what? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God says that to Joshua. This is to you, Joshua. But then back in Isaiah, as the nation has been built, as the nation is facing trouble, God says these words in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, be strong, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, be courageous, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will go with you wherever you go. So Isaiah is God is prophesying through Isaiah to the people, to us. I am with you. Be strong. Be courageous. 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul writes that in Jesus, in Christ, that all the promises of God, from Genesis to Revelation, all the promises of God are yours in Christ. So when we're in Jesus, we can look to this and we can say, be strong and courageous. Trust God. I can trust you, Lord. I can walk in you. This is a situation I don't like. This is a situation I don't understand. But you promised, if I'm strong, if I'm courageous in you, if I keep my eyes on you, you will deliver. You have already won the battle. And then in Romans, if you remember chapter 8, 32, it says, God did not spare Jesus, but gave him up for us. How will he not be gracious in giving us all things? Again, we have to be careful in that all things. Because Paul's not talking about wealth. He's not talking about cars and clothes and money. Giving us all things. He's saying the promises of God. Everything that God has promised is yours. Why am I going to hold anything back? I gave you, as Deloitte said, I've given you Jesus. Why am I not going to give you a promise I made? So all the promises of the Old Testament are ours. All the promises in the New Testament are ours if we're in Christ. Just like Joshua, keep your eyes on me. Stay in me. Be strong, courageous in me, and you will prosper. So here's what we have to do. Remember the rules, the three rules. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all that the Bible says. Keep your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Do not turn to the right or to the left. And let His word not depart from our mouths. Meditate on it. And again, be careful to do all that is written. Because although we don't always see Him, He is there, walking with us. We have hope. We have victory. If we're strong, if we're courageous, and we obey what the Lord says. Let us pray.